Good morning. If you'd like to open your Bibles, if you have them with you, to Matthew chapter 28. My wife and I would just like to say thank you for allowing us to be with you today and to share God's Word this morning. Also earlier, as we spent some time during Sunday school hour, sharing some, more background information about the ministry we're involved in. For those of you who don't know her, I'm going to introduce her to you because she's my favorite wife. And this is her most favorite part. Would you please stand up? I just have to take that advantage to, have her stand up and introduce her to everybody. She just loves it. Joanne and I have been serving with Crossroad Mission for 28 years now, 28 plus years. It'll be 29, in August. And we've been serving in the Republic of Ireland for 26 plus of those years. We've been back the last couple years helping Joanne's mom and dad as they're elderly, dealing with dialysis and other health issues. So we're thankful that God has allowed us to be back here to assist them, but also to continue to be involved in the ministry of Crossworld in Ireland, where we've spent 26 plus years of service and continue to serve there. And we're really thankful for your faithful support. Spencerport was one of the first churches that supported us as missionaries when we started out. As a matter of fact, we had a Bible study with a few of the folks here a few years ago. Been almost 32 years, 31 years, something like that, many years ago. Had some Bible study with folks that became part of the founding of this church. So it's exciting to be part of that and see what God has continued to do here in Spencerport and the surrounding area. I've asked you to turn to Matthew 28. This morning, what I'd like to talk to you about is something that Jesus asked us to do. Now, he said it specifically to his disciples, but he asked all of us in that process. When he said it to his disciples, he also was saying it to us. Let's read Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Jesus said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And what I want to touch on just briefly this morning is that phrase, "go make disciples." Go make disciples. Let's ask the Lord's blessing as we do. Father, help us to understand what it means to go make a disciple. What was it that Jesus was asking us to do? And Lord, thank you that he told us that he would be with us as we go through this, that he would be there till the very end. Lord, we just ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you read that passage, and as I thought about go make a disciple, I thought one of the first things we need to do is we need to decide, could have given you that verse. We need to decide, what is a disciple? What is a disciple? Well, Crossworld, we've over the years talked about this and said, let's try to be as clear on this as we can be. What does it mean to be a disciple? So we've come up with a definition. You may have another one, and that's okay. This is the one that we're currently using. And it's this: one who is learning to live in love like Jesus and helps others to do the same. That's a disciple. That's just someone who says, I want to live in love like Jesus and help others to do the same. A disciple is one who said, I'm going to trust my salvation, I'm going to trust my life to Jesus, and I want to live in love like he does and reach out to others. Well, Jesus said not only, he says, make disciples. So there's something more to this than just, oh, I'm a disciple. So the next question was, what is disciple making? He said, how do we define or understand disciple making so that we don't have 50 different definitions? So we came up with this one. And this definition is one we're using. It's helping people everywhere to live and love like Jesus by imparting God's truth through authentic relationships wherever life happens. So we've taken that basic definition, and for our time together this morning, I said, I just want to look at three aspects of that. We're to go make disciples. So we have an idea what a disciple is. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're a disciple. And when Jesus spoke these instructions to the disciples at that day, in that place, at that time, that was then carried on all the way down to us. Because remember, he said, you go make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. A disciple shared the gospel with you. A disciple shared about Jesus with you. It's someone who lives and loves like Jesus. And they in turn shared the message of the cross. So as a disciple, we need to go make more disciples. But I think there's, in this definition that we've come up with, it helps us kind of understand what that involves. The first aspect of this is imparting God's truth. Okay? Helping people everywhere to live and love like Jesus by imparting God's truth. One of the things that we've found out over the years, it really doesn't matter, that we share good things with people. You know, that, oh, life is great, don't worry, things will work out. That's really not what helps them. What helps them is the truth of God's word. The verse that we chose as a couple and as a family when we went to Ireland to serve was, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. The only way they're going to understand and come to faith and become another disciple is if they hear God's word. So you have to somehow come up with ways to impart God's word to them. So it's important that you impart God's truth to people. There's a scripture verse that helps us kind of understand it, gives us a little bit of a context. It's an Old Testament, so if you'd like to turn there, it's in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Turn there, Deuteronomy 6. I'm going to have you look up three verses. Your Bible's going to get some exercise this morning. Or your iPad, or your whichever form you're using. In Deuteronomy 6, Moses wrote this. He wrote to the people of Israel, but we're told in the New Testament that they are an example to us. We are to learn from them. And we're told here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 4 and following, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord your God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your homes and on your gates." Moses was saying to them, do you not understand that God says he's supposed to be part of your everyday life? He's supposed to be involved in how you live life. You impart the truth of God as you live life. When you go throughout your day, as you interact with people, you are imparting the word of truth, because you've taken the things that God has taught you, the things that God has shown you, and you've made them real in your life, and by living and showing them to others, you're imparting truth from the word of God. So one of the things I can tell you is you need to love the word. You need to interact with it. That's what we've learned over the years. The more you interact with it, the more you love it, the more it overflows in your life, and you're able to impart that truth to those round about you. But one thing that we think is important is not only just imparting the word of truth, learning it yourself, sharing it with others, is that somehow you need to make it authentic to others. And we think that this truly happens through authentic relationships. Your ability to impart this truth is through the relationships that you develop with those around about you. How much time do you spend with your family, chatting, talking, interacting, your neighbors, your fellow workers? One of the things that we've noted, and it's not just here in America. In Ireland, in Europe, we see the same thing. A lot of times there's not a lot of interaction. There's a lot of this, but there's not a lot of interaction. And there can be a sharing of life. There can be a sharing through Facebook. There can be a sharing through your Twitter. And I can't even remember all the other names of all the stuff that's out there. But you can, all kinds of interaction you can have with people. And that's good. You can develop relationships that way. But we feel the best way is face-to-face. Develop relationships with people face-to-face. The New Testament kind of gives us an idea of how that works out. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians, this is the book you don't turn to often, but it's all the way in the New Testament. Right after Philippians and Colossians. 1 Thessalonians. And we'll just read this portion of this passage. 1 Thessalonians, starting in verse 4. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. As Paul wrote to these believers in Thessalonica, he said, you heard the message. You became followers of Christ. You became disciples. And then that message rang out throughout all of Macedonia and Achaia. It just went out everywhere because they lived and they had relationships with people. Paul shared a message with them, but he did not touch everyone's life. He touched a small group, perhaps this group over here. He spoke to them, spent time with them, built a relationship with them. And then as they lived life, they shared that with others until there was a large number of people in Thessalonica that had come to know Jesus and had become disciples of his. Because someone took time to impart truth and to have a relationship so that they might hear that truth. The thing that we see will happen as we look at our definition is that this happens wherever life happens. Learning to be a disciple, learning to be one who disciples someone else, learning to be one who shares the gospel of Christ, it happens as life happens. It's not something that you do on Sunday morning only, which is we're together this morning, and if you invited somebody out to church, that's great. But that's not the only place it happens. It's not just on perhaps Tuesday evening, I don't know if you do visitation anymore, some churches do, some don't. It doesn't happen if you just go to the jail ministry, which is a great ministry that the gospel is shared there, but that's not the only place. Being a disciple, being one who imparts the truth, God's word in other people's lives, happens throughout life and everything we do in our daily life. It's a lifelong process. Joanne and I have been graciously allowed to be involved in missions, and be involved in doing this, making disciples for, well, let's say almost since we've came to Christ. Shortly thereafter, he allowed us to become excited about sharing the good news with others and spending time with others. And so, how many years has it been now? 35, 37, 30, 40, 40. She keeps track of these things. 40 years we've been able to share the gospel and disciple others. And it's been exciting to see what God will do, not because of anything we've done, but that we've been, I guess, faithful and available to do what he's asked us to do. Just share our life with others. And he would want every one of us to do that, no matter where we are in our walk with the Lord. He wants us to be those who make disciples. Share God's truth, have relationships, and do it everywhere you go, your whole life. It never stops. I've got a verse for that. It's in Colossians. You don't have to turn a page, I don't think, if you just go over to the left, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And it says there, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So no matter what you do, whether you're out working in the garden, and the neighbor says hi, and so you spend a few minutes chatting with your neighbor, perhaps you're given an opportunity to tell them that God has blessed you that week. If you're at work, and I know at work you're supposed to work. Okay, that's why they pay you, that's why they hire you. But sometimes they do give you a 10-minute break. Sometimes they do allow you to have lunchtime. Sometimes after work you get a chance to interact with people. Well, if you're there and you're living Jesus before them, then you'll have opportunities. You'll have opportunities to share with them what God has done in your life. It's a lifelong process, and it takes every one of us to be involved in it if we want to see what Jesus has asked us to do. Go make disciples. We all need to be involved with it, no matter where we are in our walk with the Lord. So, what is disciple making? Helping people everywhere to live and love like Jesus by imparting God's truth through authentic relationships wherever life happens. If you notice, I've not given you 14 steps. I've not told you 7 laws. I'm just saying, interact with God's word. Know God's word. You'll be able to impart that truth to others. We're just saying that you need to have relationships with people. And thirdly, you need to do it wherever life happens. Be it in your home, be it in your school, be it in your place of business, be it in a club or a community association, wherever God puts you, you be a witness for him and impart God's truth. It kind of happens like this. You share the good news with one person. Now, I'm not going to tell you all these are all different folks that we've had over the years in Ireland. We've got more, but if you look at that, I want to make sure we're looking at this correctly. Yep, the upper left-hand corner, the young lady there. She wasn't the first one that we saw come to Christ, but she was one of them. And it only took 6 years. And she was in a Bible study for 4 before her heart opened up and she became a disciple of Christ. She shared the gospel with someone else. They came to Christ. And just like that, it just from person to person to person, another person became a disciple, they shared the good news. Then they shared the good news with that person became a disciple, they shared the good news. And I guess what I want to show you is because it's nothing that we did, it's nothing that Crossworld did, it's nothing that, I guess you'd say, we worked with the Baptist missions from Northern Ireland in accomplishing what God had for us to do there. It's nothing that they did. God did all this through people. He did this through taking someone who was willing to be a disciple, to disciple someone else, then that person became a disciple, and it just has a life of its own when we do it God's way. And so what I want to show with you is just a little discipleship and church planning in Cork, Ireland, and how I'll call it we formalize it so you can kind of see what it's like. And God has allowed you to be part of this because you have prayed for the ministry there. You prayed for us, which we are very appreciative over the years. You've supported us. But also you've prayed for many of the people that have come to Christ, who have become disciples and who are discipling others. You've prayed for the work there, for the churches that have started. And we'd just like to share with you and show you how God did it. He did it by one person, one person, one person. It wasn't what any one person did it, but they just, one after another, as they became disciples, they shared the good news. We went there in 1985 ourselves. Crossworld started working with the Cork Baptist Church in 1980, along with Baptist Mission from the north of Ireland. They sent a missionary down, and we sent a missionary family over to work with them. There were 12 to 15 people there, members. And they said they felt, or they had a leading, that God would have them plant more churches. But they knew that with 12 or 15 people, it didn't look good. You know, there was a lot of work to do for 12 or 15, so they asked for some help. So the Baptist Missions and ourselves said, yes, we would help them. So we came alongside them. And over the years, we've worked with them across the world more. We joined them in 1985 and started just investing in people's lives, spending time with people there. Well, out of the Cork Baptist Church in 1980, the 12 to 15 members that were there, they planted four churches. There are four churches in existence today because of the vision and dream that God used these people to fulfill. And they, again, it was done by person to person to person. It wasn't done by any one individual or by any program. It was done by one disciple sharing with another disciple, sharing with another. Those four churches, as they started to be formed and as they came together, they said, you know, we want to keep doing this. And how can we keep doing this? You know, what is it that we can do to help us make sure we keep doing this? So they said, we'll form what's called the Cork and Kerry Project. Now, the Cork and Kerry Project are just two counties, County Cork and County Kerry. They're next door to each other, and they're down in the southwest corner of Ireland. And they said, we'll form the Cork and Kerry Project, and this will kind of help us focus on doing that. And what would be special about the Cork and Kerry Project to help you focus on doing this? Well, it's this mission statement. The mission statement is what? The only thing we're going to do, the only thing you need to do in order to belong to this Cork and Kerry Project, the only thing required is that your church be willing to plant another church. Your church be willing to ask God to help you plant another church. So the Cork Baptist Church and then those four daughter churches came together and said, that's what we're going to do. Baptist Missions and Cross World are part of that Cork and Kerry Project. That's one of the things I do as the Ireland coordinator for Cross World. I attend the meetings when the Cork and Kerry Project meets three times a year. I'm able to make two out of three meetings. But it's exciting because these churches have said, we'll come together because we want to continue to plant churches. That's what we want to be about. Two other churches, one a plant in Tralee, out in West Cork and Kerry, has joined with us. That was a plant by Biblical Ministries Worldwide. That's right, Biblical Ministries Worldwide. It used to be WEF. Some of you might remember World Evangelical Fellowship. They planted a church in Tralee, and they wanted to be involved. They saw what was happening in Cork, and they asked to be involved. So they've joined the Cork and Kerry Project because they want to be part of what God is doing at this point in Cork. And then Westside Baptist was another independent church. They've asked to join. And now all these churches are now part of the Cork and Kerry Project. And again, the only reason that you are allowed to be part of this is that your church has said, we will be involved in planting another church. The Cork and Kerry Project has no authority over the churches. The Cork and Kerry Project does not tell them how to plant churches. What we do as a group is we meet together, each church sends a representative, and we talk about what's happening, what God is doing, what they see is happening, and we say, okay, what can we do to help? Do we have resources? Does this church have resources that can help this church? Because they're all at different ages. Some are almost 20 years old. Douglas, where we were involved in, is only 7 or 8 years old now. So they're all at different points, but they're all working together to plant more churches. And the result of that is that they're reaching out to Kinsale, which is a little town 20 miles south of Cork, and two churches, Westside and Caroline Baptist, are working together to plant a church in Kinsale. Douglas Baptist Church, where we've been involved and saw come into be birthed about 8 years ago, they just last autumn said, we know where God wants us to go. Now, whether it'll happen or whether we'll see fruit there, but we feel this is where God would have us go, and they've sought to plant a church in Passage West. There's been a new team just formed at the beginning of this year. We're excited about that. Again, it's a cross work between Cross World, Baptist Missions, and there's an elder of the Douglas Baptist Church leading the team. So it's exciting to see what God is doing. And then you have Middleton Evangelical. They planted the All Baptist Church. That's now become a granddaughter church. And that granddaughter church is not yet committed, but is looking towards Dungarvan. Some of the other churches are being involved in other churches. The thing you need to understand is that there was no one person or one small group of people that did this. Because this all started with 12 people. 12 to 15 people who said, we want to share Jesus with others. We want to see his church planted. And so they did that. They shared Jesus through Bible studies, through conversations at work, through school. Wherever God gave them opportunity, they took time to impart God's truth in relationships as life happens. And God has worked miraculously. It's unbelievable to see what has happened in Cork. And it's not just us. There are other churches there that have grown because they've chosen to do the same thing. We don't have a corner on the market. But it's exciting to see what happens when you're obedient and you follow Jesus' command, go make disciples. And you can do that right here. You can do it overseas. And we're just thankful that you've been involved in our ministry overseas to support this and to see that God has used you and your prayers and your involvement there to see these churches planted. And we're excited to see what he's going to do as this process continues, as they continue to walk with God and depend on him. So, I just thought you'd like to see the sheep. And it will remind us what Jesus said. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. So what is disciple making? Helping people everywhere, here, there, and everywhere, to live and love like Jesus by imparting God's truth through authentic relationships wherever life happens. Let's pray. Father, I just ask that each one of us might take your clear instructions to us, and Lord, that we might go make disciples wherever we are. And Lord, I know this morning we haven't had time to look in real depth at all the things that are involved, but Lord, you've given us enough from your word to clearly see that it involves your word, it involves us being in relationship with others, and Lord, it involves our whole life. It's not something we do once and then we can walk away. Lord, just help each one of us to do it the way you've gifted us, the way you've enabled us, in different ways, Lord, that you've enabled us to go and share the good news with others. It will look different for each one of us, Lord, but we just ask that we would be faithful in doing it. Father, help us be those who go and make disciples. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.